Let's pray. Lord, how I want those words to be true. I mean, they are true. How I want them to be true in my life and my experience, to sing that it is better to experience one day in your presence than anything else the world has to offer. To say that you really are all that I want. My head says that's right, because I read it in the pages of Scripture. And it resonates within me, but Tuesday I didn't live there. I wasn't satisfied with you. I was looking for other things. I was on a hunt for something that would better satisfy me. Wednesday, there was that pursuit of other treasures. And then we come and we sing and my heart is reminded. And my soul cries out and says, yes, this really is life. A real, vital, experientially rich relationship with the living God. This is what I live for. Usually, sometimes, often. Thank you that you have invaded our world to rescue us from ourselves and our selfishness and our sin, to bring us into this most satisfying life. The truth is, we are made for you and we will never be satisfied apart from you. We just don't get it yet fully all the time. Forgive me for thinking that there are treasures that compare to you. Forgive me for pursuing things that I think might satisfy me for a moment, rather than giving into the thing that would satisfy my soul forever. And work in us in such a way that this becomes daily reality for us and not just fleeting moments in song. That for our good, because it is the way that you made us, and for your glory and for the spread of your fame, we would live as if you were better than anything, because you are. And we affirm that today. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, the Spirit said something, and I need to make a note down here so I don't forget. Okay, merely. Mm-hmm. Good. All right. This morning, what does it feel like to be free? Charlie raised that issue for us a few weeks ago. He asked, do you feel free? And I think that's a great question because Charlie's been picking up on the language in Galatians. The idea that he began to explore was how does it taste? How does it feel? How do we know? How do we live in the freedom that Jesus purchased for us? What does it really feel like, because freedom has to be felt, what does it really feel like to be free? I've been trying to find a way to talk about that, and as I've been thinking about it, I think that freedom is what I taste when I live unhindered for what I most deeply desire. That is, freedom, I feel free when I live life the way I long to in the deepest parts of my soul. Freedom doesn't come just from giving into my whims, you know, like, see, I can do that, that must mean I'm free. Because unless what I am doing is really an expression of what's deepest in my soul, then it doesn't feel like freedom. It's kind of like you're going along the freeway and you're a little late for an appointment and it's posted 55 and you're going 80. I feel free. No, you don't. You feel in bondage. Freedom would feel like being to the appointment on time, right? Freedom would feel like having life fall together in such a way that you wouldn't have to speed and you wouldn't have to worry about the law. You wouldn't have to. Freedom would feel very different than simply doing what you whimsically want to do. Freedom comes, freedom is tasted, freedom is experienced when I am living unhindered for the things that matter most to me. I taste freedom when I am living from my soul for the things that I long for most. And that's what I want to explore this morning a little bit more about, this whole idea about how do we taste, and more importantly, how do we live in that freedom. To do that, let me pick up a little bit of where we've been in Galatians so far, what Jesus did. through his life and death and resurrection and ascension and ongoing current ministry on our behalf, Paul has been telling us what Jesus has done is he's procured life for us. He delivered us out of death and into life. Now, sure, you may be thinking, well, before I met Jesus, I had life. Well, yeah, you had a pulse and you had a breath. You had biological existence. You didn't have life. Because you were in bondage. You were in bondage to sin and to rules and to death. And Jesus comes and buys us out of that by his ministry, his life. He rescues us from that. And Jesus bought us out of that slavery, in order to bring us into life and give us freedom. And we begin to catch glimpses. As we've been working through Galatians, I've been seeing little glimpses of what this life and freedom is supposed to be like. It's like seeing an island off on the horizon of the ocean of life and realizing that out there somewhere there's this life that I really long for, where God is truly glorified and grace is genuinely experienced and extended and spouses are loved and children are nurtured and work is satisfying and worship is sincere and friendships are inviting and joy is abundant. That's the kind of life I want. I'd like to live there. And in your soul and in my soul has been planted by grace a longing for that kind of life. That kind of life that we can actually have because of Jesus. And, you know, when you think about that kind of life, rich, God-glorifying, grace-exalting, sin-freeing kind of living, when you taste that, when you live there, whether it's for a second or for a minute or for an hour or for a day or for a week, you go, this is freedom. This is the kind of life I'd like to live. Heaven is going to feel like that. Heaven will feel free. You will live the kind of life you long to live from your soul. It will feel entirely free. And the thing is, you don't have to wait till heaven to start that. We can begin to live in that freedom now. It occurs to me, as I think about this, as I'm reading Paul's letter, as I think about what he's saying about this freedom and this kind of life, that for Paul thought about it almost like there's this kind of flow to life. What I mean by that, when Paul talks about life, it seems like he thinks we're supposed to step into life and experience almost a momentum, a movement through life that we are carried along by, that somehow what God is doing in us should carry us along so that it feels like we are being borne along in freedom. You may have picked up on that idea. Now, you may have got a little taste of that back in Galatians chapter 3. Where Paul had talked about justification, in the first two chapters, Paul lays out this idea that because of what Jesus has done, not only do you enter into a life of forgiveness, but you enter into a life where you stand accepted before God, just like Jesus is accepted before God. Justification is a huge thought, a simple idea, but it's more than just having your sins forgiven. It's being accepted fully in the righteousness of Christ. And when he's talking to the Galatians about that, he doesn't ask them merely the theological question. He turns to them and says, okay, so this experience of justification, here's what I want to know. Did you receive the Spirit by hearing of faith or by works of the law? What's he driving at there? Back in Galatians chapter 3, he's driving at the idea that their justification was a work of the Spirit that they felt, they tasted, they experienced it. So they could say, yes, I know I am justified because I've experienced something of the Spirit. And he goes on to talk with them about their ongoing experience with the Spirit, the one who works among you. How is he doing that? And then he says this, he asks them the question, what I want to know from you is, do you think having begun in the Spirit, you're going to somehow be perfected in the flesh? What is he talking about? He is talking about this idea that they have this life in the Spirit, and to default to trying to do it in their own human effort, they get out of the flow. They miss what's going on. In other words, Paul is asking them, do you think that this thing that God did in you when you first came to Jesus, do you think this thing that God did in you by grace, through faith, by the power of the Spirit, do you think it's going to continue to happen in you by your own efforts? Well, of course not. It's like someone who's jumped into the river and is being carried along by the current. Once you respond to the gospel, once you give in to the love of Jesus and what he's done for you, then you're tossed into the river of life and the Spirit bears you along, carrying you along into this kind of life. There is something to the feeling of being carried along by the Spirit that feels like freedom. When you first responded to the great offer of life that's found in Christ Jesus, when it first came into your soul, the realization that Jesus gave his life for you, when that first came home to you, you gave in. You embraced it. You ceased striving. You received. You believed. And that was the work of the Spirit. That didn't happen by your own efforts. You didn't follow a plan. You didn't have a program. You didn't work a method. You gave in to what the Spirit was doing in drawing you into this life. By freely welcoming what Jesus has done, you are simply responding to the tug of the Spirit. And in that sense, you got caught up with that. And most of you can testify that when that first came home to your heart, you felt free. I'm free from the guilt of sin. I'm free from the penalty of sin. There was a taste of freedom. That was entirely what the Spirit was doing. And that's the kind of ongoing experience that we're supposed to have. We're supposed to be living in that kind of freedom. Look at how Paul says it in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to do a little bit of review, make sure we get the momentum of the passage. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and following. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he's obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You have been, you who would be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Can you hear how Paul is speaking about life? You're free. You really are free. You're free from sin. You're free from rules. You're free from death. You're freed for life. You're freed to God. And the invitation then is to live there. He's saying you have jumped into the river. You have jumped into the river of life. You are being carried along. You need to be living in that freedom. But some are calling from the shore. Some who are not in the river, not being carried along, they're standing on the shore and they're going, that's not safe. You're not going to get to the right destination being carried along that way. You need help. You need rules. There are things that you need to do. And they call you back to the shore, climb up on the shore, try to manage it yourself, try to keep control of your life yourself. They're inviting you back to the shore. Paul goes, don't go there. That's just slavery. You used to be on the shore where you were spiritually dead. Now you're in the river. You need to stay in the river and allow the Spirit to carry you along. Don't get back up there on the shore. That's what Paul has been telling us, and Charlie has so wonderfully been explaining to us. To resort to a rule-based approach to life is just to go back to the way that we used to live on the shore. It's to move back into slavery. It's to not avail ourselves of the benefits of grace. To overlook what Christ has really accomplished and to not experience the power of the Spirit. Look at how Paul puts it in verse 7. You were running well. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion, this idea that you need something else, this doesn't come from the one who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will not take any other view than mine. And the one who is troubling you, well, he'll bear his penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision rules, why am I being persecuted? Because in that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. What's he saying? He's saying you were running well. What does he mean? You were caught up in the race. You were caught up in the race. You were in your stride. You were keeping the right pace. You were headed in the right direction. But someone jostled you, bumped into you, and they got you to focus on other things. You stopped focusing on Jesus. It was not about grace. It's not about the Spirit. It's not about the gospel. It's not about Jesus, but it's about rules. It's about law. It's about your efforts. And they got you to look at that, and you stumbled, he says. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What does he mean? A small stone in your shoe. It gets you off stride. Makes your muscles ache. It ruins your pace. It causes you to limp. There was something very natural. And what I mean by natural, I don't mean apart from the Spirit. It's what the Spirit was doing, but there was something very natural about the way they were pursuing Jesus. He says, you were running well. You began this life with Jesus by grace, through faith, carried along by the Spirit in a way that you didn't fully understand. You were just caught up in it, and you were pursuing Him. And He says, that's how you're supposed to continue. It wasn't about what you did. It was about what He did and how He got you caught up in all of that. You began running the race so very well. You're supposed to continue to run the race that way. But something happened. Paul says, now these rule givers, they've come because of these rule givers. You're off pace. You're stumbling. You were running so very well. They're going to get what comes to them, but the rule keepers, he says, they want you to listen to their voice. They want to set the pace. They want you to follow their guidance, to do what they tell you to do, all for the supposed purpose of helping you run better. But it won't happen that way. Friends, we got to be really clear. Charlie's made it so very clear. Rules or law plus your effort will never result in holy living. It just won't. Not going to come that way. Rules plus your effort will never give you life. Rules plus your effort will never keep life. Rules plus your effort will never result in the experience of life. It just won't happen that way. What we need to do is find ourselves in the flow of what the Spirit of God is doing because of the gospel and through Jesus and get caught up in that. Runners, if you're a runner, you might understand this. There comes that time when you're running, when you first start to run. I'm thinking I need to go back and start running again, so I'm anticipating all of this, right? When you first start to run, you worry about how far you're going to run, and you worry about the pace, and you take your pulse, and you, after running for a while, you look, it's been 3 minutes. Oh, my goodness, I'm not going to be able. And so all these other things, you know, you're trying to make sure that the pace is right and the steps are right, but then all of a sudden you come to this place, if you've been running for any length of time, when you are actually just, I'm just running. And I'm not even thinking about the pace or the tempo or the, I'm just running. I am enjoying running. What is that? That is the experience of freedom that you're supposed to be having in the Christian life, where you are just living the life you were designed to live. You're supposed to get caught up in that. That's what Paul is talking about in this expression, this taste of freedom. Maybe you're not a runner, and so you can't identify with that. There's another place where you might feel this kind of freedom. The day has been very busy, particularly if you have toddlers in the home. Days are very busy. Because toddlers are so unpredictable. You have a toddler in the home, and life is crazy and chaotic, and you're trying to get everything done, and busyness has just been your watchword for the day, and plans are always held loosely. And yet, there comes that moment, maybe late afternoon, where you pick up that little one, and you hold him on your chest, and you're sitting in the rocking chair, and you hear her breathing, and she begins to fall asleep on your chest, and you know what? It feels free. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. This feels free. I'm not doing the rules. I'm not making it by effort. There is just a very natural flow to life where this is how it's supposed to be. Paul is telling the Galatians, that's how it's supposed to be. Maybe you're a musician. You're learning a song and you work on the music and you play it and you work over it and you're memorizing the music and you're playing the piece. And ultimately you realize partway through, I'm not reading the music anymore. I'm just enjoying the song. What a marvelous thing. That's what freedom tastes like, brothers and sisters. It's not about, can I learn the rules to live the Christian life, but can I find the way to give into what the Spirit is doing so that this Christian life becomes my life and it feels like freedom? Paul wants the Galatians and us to live in this life-altering, grace-magnifying, Christ-exalting, freedom-producing gospel. He wants us to settle down and live there. So let's look again in chapter 5. We're going to try to get our arms around what I'm beginning to see, hopes to try to understand how we end up living there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Wow. Paul took a little digression in talking about those who hindered you, and now he's coming back to pick up this idea of freedom that he started chapter 5 with, living life and the experience of freedom. But he's also pulling together threads that he's already laid out in the book of Galatians. He's talked about having begun in the Spirit, how we're supposed to be completed. So he's going to be picking up some of these ideas. If we no longer have rules to live under and no longer bound to rules, then how are we going to end up living holy? How will it actually happen? He's addressing here in these verses a little bit about that. You see, he's told you and told me that because of Jesus, we're free. But then he says that freedom doesn't mean that you should have then an opportunity, and he says, for the flesh. What does he mean by that? Well, flesh here, I think he's referring to natural living. Flesh is a reference to how you live if you don't know God. It's just humanness. He says, Now that you have been set free, it's not freedom to merely live as a human. Because Christ has given you new life, and the Spirit has come up to take residence in you. You don't any longer have to live like someone who is spiritually dead. Now you're free. You don't have to live like a mere human any longer, just normal human naturalist. You've been set free from rules and sin and death, but not so that you can keep on living like someone who doesn't know God. But you've been set free from sin and death and rules so that you can live differently. This is what Paul is driving at. And he says, if we were but to love one another, then that is really love each other. And in chapter 5, he's going to unpack that a little bit more. If we were really to love each other, then the truth is that what the law aimed at that it could never get to would be fulfilled in us. Notice he says that, talks about having the law fulfilled. He doesn't say that we would keep the law. Now that we're free, we should keep the law. Keeping the law would be different. That would be keeping your eyes on the rules. But he says the what the law was aiming at, a certain kind of living, it's fulfilled in us in this experience of freedom. It what the law pictured but could never arrive at, we arrive at when we live in this freedom. But that leaves me with a massive unanswered question. If I don't have rules to live by, how will I know how to live loving? If I do not have rules to tell me how to live life loving, how then will I live loving? Paul's answer is profound and wonderful and challenging. Chapter 5, verse 16. But walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. What's Paul saying? He's already made it clear that human effort and rules aren't going to be sufficient to free us from living as merely human, those who don't know God. But by walking in the Spirit, he says, we will no longer in any way carry out the desires of the flesh. When he uses the word the desires there, he's not talking about necessarily wicked, sinful stuff. He's contrasting the desires of the flesh with the desires of the Spirit. One way of life and another way of life. Some people live just naturally, just like human people. Then there's a bunch of other people who are Spirit-inhabited people, and they get to live on a different principle, a different basis. Not living as if natural life is all that there is. This, when he says, but if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify, that is, carry out, bring to fruition, bring to its end the desires of the flesh. He's not talking about necessarily your worst, most wicked longings. He's simply talking about the tug to live like an unrenewed person. Just live naturally. Your old habits of life. To not gratify it means not to end up living like that. By walking in the Spirit, he's talking about living under the influence of the Spirit, feeling his tug, keeping in step with him in such a way that I live differently than those who don't know God. Perhaps picture it like this, like a three-legged race. But rather than getting your leg tied to this other person who you don't know, and there's no way that you're going to keep up with them unless your leg is strapped to them. But picture the three-legged race with someone that you really know, who you've come to know, one who you're familiar with. You know how he runs, how fast he runs, what his tempo is, what his pacing is, how he'll take the turns. And when the gun gets fired off and the start of the race begins, what happens? You run the three-legged race by just holding tightly to this one and keeping in step. That's the language that Paul is using here when he says walk in the Spirit. I think it's J.I. Packer who renders this keep in step with the Spirit. I think that's the idea. Walking in the Spirit has everything to do with not finding new rules to try to do the right kind of thing, but it's very relational. It's about maintaining this intimate, dynamic relationship with the Spirit. Does this mean that Paul is advocating a wholly subjective, merely intuit your way into the kind of life that God wants you to? No, of course not. He's been writing and explaining and expositing Old Testament scriptures. So it's much more than merely intuiting your way in. But it must, friends, it must include something rich and subjectively real about your relationship with the Spirit. Because walk in the Spirit can't mean anything less than have a real, vital, experientially dynamic relationship with the Spirit so that where He goes, you go. And that cannot be reduced to rules. When I think about the place that the Scriptures play in this, maybe we could put it this way. The Scriptures that is the gospel and the truth of the word and the teaching of the prophets and the life and ministry of Jesus introduces not so much to something to affirm, some truth to affirm, but it's all about introducing us to someone to relate to, someone to rely on, someone to have relationship with. The goal of the good news of the gospel is not to replace one set of rules with another, but to move us from relying on rules and a focus on our efforts and replacing it with a person who we come to know and have relationship with. And when we yield to His manifest presence in our life, that is the Spirit, we live differently. The Scriptures point us to Him, to Jesus, who influences our lives through the Spirit, and help us to know what He's like so that we can get to know Him and live in relationship with Him. Jesus makes life with God understandable by living that life before us in the Scriptures. And the Spirit makes that life attainable, graspable, by living that life in us. You know, I was trying to think, this tension between the rule-based living and living in relationship, it dawned on me that this happens sometimes when my wife and I are out somewhere. I'm sure if you've been married for any length of time, you've had this kind of experience where you're going to an event, a party, a gathering. And before you go, you talk about the rules. The rules are, okay, don't leave me standing alone. Make sure that you stand with me. If I do this, that means I don't want to talk to this person any longer. Please come and bail me out. Those kind of things. And then you also have rules about how long you're going to stay. We're going to stay this long. And so then at this time, we're going to leave. And so you have rules about how that's going to happen. But you know, sometimes what happens in one of those moments, you're not yet at the time you're supposed to leave. No one's, screaming, crying out. But you look across the room, and there your spouse is, and he or she looks at you, and you just know, oh, it's time to go. You're not yet at the time. You're not yet where the rules told you it was going to end. But you just know. Why? Because there's this relationship that is so real and so vital that there is something. I'm in step with you, and I can see, and I know where you're going and what's on your heart, and that's what it means to keep in step with the Spirit, that you have something so vital and so real. Do you understand? The Spirit is not a concept. He is someone with whom we are supposed to have a real, rich relationship. And Paul says, freedom tastes like keeping in step with the Spirit. Let me try to picture it for you in another way. When I was in college, I had the opportunity to sing with the university choir for 3 years. The choir director wanted me to sing in the choir because at that time I had a pretty stellar range. I could sing everything from second bass through tenor. And so when I auditioned, he was like, whoa, gosh, we could really use you because wherever we have a hole, we could fill you in. What he didn't know is that I couldn't read a lick of music. I played a little piano and I played guitar, but I did it all by ear and I couldn't read music. But the university choir sang some really complicated music. You know, I knew that when all the notes were really close together, I knew that we were going to be doing things really fast. And I knew when I saw the notes go up that somehow that meant I was supposed to get higher, and when the notes went down, I was supposed to get lower. But in terms of what that really meant and what it was going to look like, I was clueless. But I sang for 3 years with the university choir. And let me tell you how I did it. There was a guy in my dorm who we were friends with who sang in the university choir. And you know what? He was a musician, and he read music, and he was wonderful, and he knew the problem. And so he just said, just sing with me. And so for my 3 years, I kept in step with him. I'd listen to what he sang. And I would follow his lead. I'd sing with him. He influenced how I sang. So that I sang on key because I listened to what he sang and I sang that note. And I kept in tempo because I kept pace with him. And it got to the place so that after the practices, after we had worked so very hard, I started to hear the music in my own soul because I'd been listening to him. And so that when it came time for the concerts, I was just free to sing along with him. And it felt like freedom. But I can promise you, if I tried to sing by reading the music, I would be off key and out of tempo every time. The only way for me to be on key and in tempo was to keep in step with this guy who sang. That's what Paul is talking about. If you try to live the Christian life by keeping the rules through your own effort, you will be off key and out of tempo most of the time. Paul is suggesting that the way to live this Christian life is to keep in step with the Spirit who permanently indwells you. He's the one that cries out, Abba, Father. Paul says that in Galatians. You feel your heart stirred towards God. Where does that come from? It's not natural. It's supernatural. It's not human. It is what God is doing. And Paul is calling the Galatians and us to this experience of freedom that comes by keeping in step. Now, this analogy of singing choir is not perfect because the truth is the scriptures are not like music I can't read. But there is something helpful here. Singing is not simply about making sure you know the notes and reading them. Singing is about getting caught up in the song. And that's the truth about the Christian life, too. The Christian life is not just about doing the right things. The Christian life is not about following the rules. It is about entering into life and getting caught up with the song of freedom and grace and forgiveness that the Spirit sings in our souls because of what Jesus has done. And the only way to do that is to keep in step with the Spirit. And if we can do that, if we can keep up with the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, Paul says, you're not going to live like someone just natural. It's that obvious. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. No, in no way will you live like a natural person if you keep in step with the Spirit. Why? Why, if we keep in step with the Spirit, will we really live differently? Look at verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And this is a challenging verse. Some take this verse as if it were primarily about an internal struggle where I am so torn between what I want to do and what I don't want to do that I end up not doing anything. And they look at the conclusion in verse 17, so you don't do what you want to do, as this constant ongoing turmoil in the Christian life where we feel almost paralyzed. And I know a lot of Christians live there. They feel that, but it's wrong. I don't think that's what this verse is saying. Notice the first word in the verse. It's the word for. What's it for? What's the for? It's to explain. This is an explanation. Verse 17 is actually an explanation of something. What's it an explanation of? It's an explanation of verse 16. Verse 16 says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't live like a natural person. That's what he's saying. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't live as a natural person, because verse 17 offers me the reason. Why won't I live as a natural person if I walk in the Spirit? He says, because the Spirit has longings that aren't natural longings. That is, not the way that normal, unregenerate people live. He says the Spirit has desires. He's talking about a way of life, not so much the internal conflict in me. But he says the Spirit lives this way. Natural people live that way. So if you keep in step with the Spirit, you're not going to live that way. He says if you keep in step with the Spirit, you won't live just like a natural person. He says if you keep in step with the Spirit, you won't do what you want to do. Now that last phrase there, what you want to do, isn't about the internal conflict as much as what you would do if you were just a natural person. If we don't read 17 that way, then it's not good news. And verse 16 makes no sense whatsoever, because verse 16 is a call to victorious living. You won't live as a natural person if you keep in step with the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit's not taking you there. But if we live by rules and human effort, then you're living just like a natural person, and that doesn't feel like freedom. But if you keep in step with the Spirit, the Spirit's going to take you into this wonderful experience of life where you grow up to look like Jesus, because that's what he's intending to do, and that feels like freedom. The reason why this feels like freedom is because the character of the Spirit is such that he is going to draw us into this new kind of life. You are not. If you know Jesus, you are not human flesh any longer. You are a Spirit-inhabited person. And the Spirit cries out in you for this new kind of life, and you get to live differently, but the problem is you're habituated. You're habituated. What I mean by that is you grew up human. You grew up human. You didn't grow up as a Spirit-inhabited person. Now you are a Spirit-inhabited person, and what you need to do is keep in step with the Spirit, but you're habituated. Habituation is this not very thoughtful way of doing life that we all slip back into. Let me give you a picture of this. It's like when the power goes out in your house. Power goes out in your house, and you know, oh, okay, down the hall in that bedroom in the drawer, there's a flashlight. I'll need that. So you work your way down the hall, right? Try not to trip over the dog. And you get down there, and you get to the bedroom, and you open the door to the bedroom, and you step in, and what's the first thing that you do? Flip on the light switch. Why do you do that? Because you're habituated. It's just the way that you've accustomed to doing life. even though it doesn't make any sense at all. But that's what you do. And we are habituated to live life as humans, but you're not human any longer. Now, because you are inhabited by the Spirit of God, there's an entirely different way to live. You live by keeping in step with the Spirit. But I'm habituated to think that freedom is going to be experienced by human rules and human effort and trying to do it, rather than living from the longings that the Spirit is stirring on my heart and giving into that. I tend to think that from past habits and past thinking that if I'm going to get this Christian life right, I'm going to have all the rules in place and I'm going to have to execute them all right in order to experience joyous Christian living. That doesn't feel like freedom. And it doesn't give me the kind of life I long for. But Paul has already told us that if we live that kind of way, we cut the legs out from underneath grace and we truncate our experience with the Spirit. And we disconnect ourselves from Jesus. He's telling us, you've begun by life in the Spirit. You have been brought into this life by the Spirit. He impermanently indwells you, and He is making Himself there at home in your soul. And His longings, this is what verse 17 is telling us, the Spirit's longings and the Spirit's desires are stronger and truer and more satisfying than the residual habituation that you've been accustomed to. So give into that. This is not so much a description of an internal conflict, but an affirmation that there's a way to live that tastes like freedom. And it's by keeping in step with the Spirit. And if we keep in step with the Spirit, then life flows naturally. You are thrown into this river of life where the Spirit is moving you along. And as you lean into that, as you give into it, don't not try to swim to the shore, grab hold, find a safety. But if you just allow the Spirit to carry you along, then you begin to experience the kind of freedom and power and joy that God intends for us. I think that many of us, I know for me, there are times when I'm afraid. I'm afraid if I let go of the rules that I've carried around in my head for so long, that I'm afraid if I don't have the rules, then I will end up doing something wrong. I won't live like God wants me to. But that suggests that I do not grasp the reality of the presence of the Spirit in my life. And also suggests that I think that I can learn enough of the rules to cover every possible circumstance in life and have it all perfectly figured out so that I can apply myself absolutely perfectly in every situation. Once I start to talk about that, it becomes really foolish. That's ridiculous. I'm never going to learn the music well enough. What I really need to do is keep in step with someone who already knows the song. The Spirit does. We genuinely want to live pleasing to God. We want to come to enjoy this Christian life. We know it's supposed to be a life full of joy that we only occasionally taste, but sometimes we think it's going to be by what we do that it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen that way. So how are we then? Comes down to this big question, how are we then supposed to live in this freedom? He tells me it's about walking in the Spirit. But just how do I do that? What does that really ultimately look like? It is relational language. It does mean somehow there's supposed to be a feeling, knowing of His presence and pattern in my life. That's the idea. But I want to think about how I'm going to press that down into the way that I did life this week and think about how then do I live walking in the Spirit. The rules are external, the Spirit is internal. The rules are carried out by human effort, the Spirit-given life is carried out by faith and grace. And so somehow I have to find a way to settle in there. I think of John Mueller, who wrote in an autobiography of Fred Astaire. Some of you may know Fred Astaire. He may be older than some of you recall. Fred Astaire was a very famous MGM musical star. And George Mueller, writing in his biography of Fred Astaire, said Fred Astaire could make any partner look marvelous. And it was really true. I mean, he would dance with great dancers and not so good dancers. In fact, in one movie called Royal Wedding, he danced with a hat rack. And the hat rack looked great. It was amazing what the hat rack could do. Because Fred Astaire was such a wonderful dancer that he could take the choreography, whatever the choreography and whatever the partner. And if the partner simply gave in to his lead, you know what? They looked wonderful. Here's the truth. The Spirit knows how to live this life. The Spirit is perfectly able to lead you in a dance. And in fact, if you give in to the Spirit, you will be dancing just like Jesus. Because the Spirit is so good at doing that. That's what He's good at doing. And so we have to find a way to get there. How do we simply get into this life in the Spirit? Let me walk you through just personal examples. Because I don't know how else to make this bridge. I think that the Galatians, when Paul was writing to the Galatians, I think that the Galatians had a richer experiential life with the Spirit than most of us do. just because of how we've grown up in the Christian church and the way that the church these days talks about the Christian life, reducing it to rules and principles and ideas and propositions, I think that most of us grew up kind of limping along with regards to the Spirit. We're just not sure what it's really like. And so when Paul writes to the Galatians, keep in step with the Spirit, they go, oh yeah, great, we can do that. We know what that's like. And he tells us, tells that same thing to us, keep in step with the Spirit. And we go, Spirit, keep in step. Well, how? We're a little confused. And so, not that I do it right, but let me give you a couple of examples from my own life as to how I'm beginning to see this. Come home from the end of a long day at work. I start with two breakfasts that day, 5:30 in the morning, and lunch appointments, and busy throughout the day. I'm heading home at 6:15, 6:30. I know that as I'm pulling into the driveway, there's yard work to be done. There's a dog to be walked. My daughter has some homework that probably needs some assistance. Sue is making dinner. And I walk in thinking, I'm tired. I'm dragged out. I'm rehearsing the rules. Husbands, love your wives. I know that rule. Raise your children. I know that rule. Be good stewards over the things that, yeah, I know that rule. And then runs through my mind another rule. Jesus telling the disciples, come away by yourself to a lonely place and rest a while. I know that too. And so I step into this situation, I open the door and I walk in, and the thought is, which of these rules then becomes the defining one for the moment? Because all of them become, if I'm living simply by the rules, I'm going to have to simply weigh them all and try to decide which one. So I decide that resting is good, because if I rest, then I'll be more productive, and I go upstairs and I flip on the television and I sit down. Does this feel like freedom? Not in the least. I'm doing what I want, but only on the surface, because beneath it, what I really want, and this is a work of the Spirit, this isn't natural, what I really want is I want to be a loving husband. I really want to be a loving husband. I want to live like Christ before my kids. I want to honor him with what I do. That is what I really want, and freedom is when I get to live what I most want, not what I live on the surface, but what I most want. So what happens there is in that moment, I can yield, I can give in, I can watch. I wonder what the Spirit's going to do. The Spirit's going to do something that looks just like Jesus. And I can watch the Spirit moving me towards my wife. And I'm running through my mind going, but I'm tired and I'm worn out. Well, Charlie's going to talk more about this next week. But if you remember from past readings of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. In the moment, as I give into the Spirit, you know what I get? All the love, all the joy, all the peace, all the patience, all the kindness, all the good, all that I need. And I keep in step with him. And I experience a kind of freedom because now I am living for what I really want most. I'm given in to being like Christ's man in the moment. And the Spirit carries me along in being Christ's man in the moment. And I don't have rules that tell me exactly which dishes to wash or how I should do that. But I am trying to walk along with the Spirit as he takes me through this day. And it smells like and it tastes like and it feels like freedom. I had to jot down because I was thinking about it. This message, sitting in the singing, and the Spirit reminded me this week on another time where this happened. Kirsten was doing her homework, and I had some concerns about how she was doing her homework, and so I had been talking with her for a couple of days about what she's doing and how she's doing it, and I very naturally went in and flipped on the lights, even though the power was out, you know, very habituated, walking in, seeing her doing something, asked her about the homework. She's not working on her homework, and I tell her, now, sweetie, I want to make sure that you are being responsible with your homework. That's a very human, natural, not sinful response, very natural response. And Kirsten looked at me and said, the only reason why you're saying anything is because I'm just not doing it the way you want me to do it. Nah. I kind of dismissed that. I encouraged her to make sure that she did her homework right. And as I stepped out of the room, I felt like the Spirit just tugged my heart. She's right, you know. She's a junior in high school. I'm a PhD student. I know about doing homework, you know. But the Spirit tugs on me. And now the question is, will I keep in step with the Spirit or will I resort to the rules? Because I could actually go through the rules and conclude I had done nothing wrong. I had done nothing wrong. I hadn't unduly criticized her. But she said something that the Spirit prompted me to reflect on and realize I'm not in step with the Spirit here. I'm just living naturally. So I now had to talk with the Spirit. So, Spirit, how will you dance me through this day? And I went in later and I apologized to her. You know, you were entirely right. My concern was entirely about me. It wasn't really about you, and I didn't see it that way. I was just flipping on the lights. It's like when you have an argument. I'm sure this never happened to you because none of you ever have arguments with people. But I have occasionally had arguments with people, and it never happens with my spouse. It always happens with absolute strangers. But sometimes you'll be having an argument, and you'll know the point that you are making is true. You are only speaking truth, and so you can rehearse for yourself. Speak the truth in love. Tough love. Sometimes tough love is backed up with strong words because they have to get the truth, right? And you know that what you're saying is the truth. You know it needs to be said. And right there in the moment, the question is, am I dancing with the Spirit or am I dancing just with normal human life? That's the issue. Next week, Charlie's going to talk more about the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the things that Paul says is that the deeds of the flesh are obvious. What does he mean by that? I think he means, you know when you're just being natural. You know when you're just being natural, don't you? I mean, if that argument is going along, if we could put the pause on, pause the argument, ask you to take an internal thermometer reading. Is this Spirit stuff or is this human stuff? Human stuff. What's the antidote? Get in step with the Spirit. There is supposed to be something real and vital and experientially rich about this life with the Spirit. I don't know how else to talk about it in terms of these kinds of metaphors, these kinds of images where, in fact, we experience the move of the Spirit in our own soul that's consistent with the truth of the gospel, and it looks radically like Jesus. And somehow we have got to get to the place where we're giving in to those movements of the Spirit, because when we do that, then the Spirit backs us up with all of His resources. And you know what it feels like? Freedom. It feels like you're living free. Because you're living from what you long for most. I would like to be a Christ follower. And when I give into the Spirit, I get to be the Christ follower I long to be. And when I get to live what I long for most, it feels like freedom. There'll be times, I know, when you think, I won't be able to do it. I won't be able to love. I won't be able to stand. I won't be able to figure out my way how to get through this. Do not underappreciate the reality of the Spirit's presence in your life. In Philippians, Paul writes and says, "For God is at work in you, both to work and to will for His good pleasure." Do you realize that it is not just the empowerment to get through, but the very longings that you need that the Spirit works in you? He both works and wills for His good pleasure. So what's the struggle? The struggle is listening to the one who's singing next to you. The struggle is dancing with this one who dances so very well. The invitation is to come into a more experientially alive and real relationship with the Spirit that moves us past the rule-keeping into freedom, where we get to dance with the Spirit and grow up to look like Jesus. I want to live there. I'd like to live there. Let's pray. Lord, how habituated I am to defaulting to just being out of step with you, not even being aware that you are shaping and moving and leading and guiding and enriching. And but in quiet, reflective moments, then I know that in my soul there is stirring a longing to live like Jesus. There's a stirring in my soul to love my wife the way you want me to and raise my children well and to maintain integrity in my workplace and to honor you in my relationships and see grace exalted and the gospel proclaimed and life lived in joy and freedom. Those are the deepest longings of my soul. Forgive me for reducing it to a pattern or a method and forgetting that it's about the relationship that I maintain with you. Over these next few weeks, as we press further into Galatians chapter 5, would you reveal to us, open our eyes to fresh dimensions and the fresh reality of living in the Spirit, so that these would not just be words, but when it comes to walking in the Spirit, we would taste it and feel it and know it. and having tasted and felt it and known it, that we would stand in the freedom that is ours in Christ. And that by grace and through faith, through the Spirit's work, that Christ's very life would be reproduced in us to the glory of the Father. I pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.